And time now for a catch-up with the sports world, and time for me to pretend I know what I'm talking about. Fortunately, we have someone who does know what he's talking about, and that is Nathan Raruri. Good morning.
Yeah, I like to live in the sports beltway.
Yeah. Well, yeah, for me it's a bit of a shift from the worlds of politics to the worlds of sports. There are plenty of analogies that can cross over.
Yeah, sorry. No, I was going to say, it's almost exactly the same in a strange way. Like, I've found coming from doing sports world to politics world, you get the whole no answers, you get the whole stock ones, and you get, you know what I mean? It's interesting. You get little arguments in the background and stuff.
Absolutely. Let's start with rugby league. What's going on there?
So, this is an interesting case of a young man by the name of Joseph Sua'ali'i. Joseph Sua'ali'i is an incredible young athlete, and he's been playing rugby league. So, he's played rugby league for the last 3 years, and he, coming up through school, he would have been one of those really annoying kids on sports day. You're like, oh, he's going to win everything again. I'm lined up against him. And he was, like, he set a state high jump record when he was 14, and he played for the first 15. When he was 14, and then the NRL came in and gave him money to play for the Roosters juniors as a school kid, right? So he comes through this. So what happens is that, you know, the NRL and the AFL in Australia, so them and the Aussie rules, they're in a bit of a turf war for talent, but also attention. So who can front up with more stars? And that, of course, brings in, you know, more eyes to screens, but more importantly, more money. Is what they have. And what you've found, particularly in the last 10 years, is Aussie rules football has really pushed into very big rugby league strongholds. And there's quite a worry that, oh, they're going to come in and take all our talent. And rugby union just kind of stands over in the corner like, I'm also here, and no one cares. So what happened was, though, is that when he was getting towards the end of his school career before to go to play as a professional, there was word that perhaps rugby union was his choice. And what happened was, is that a club came in with a big amount of money. He goes to play league, and he's magnificent. 27 games, 17 tries over the years. He's going really well. So last weekend, in the middle of the round, and this is a weird thing for contracts to think about this, he announces, actually, I'm going to play rugby union. And they're like, when? In the year 2025, I'm going on a 3-year contract. Which now means, of course, that he stays in rugby league up until then, which makes things quite unusual.
Yeah, I can't imagine that went down very well.
No, it didn't. So Phil Gould is one of the famous names, and Phil, former player, he's a savant. He was an incredible coach. He ran many clubs. He's regarded with, you know, he's on TV all the time. Really mad. Came out, says on TV last night, don't let the door hit you, ARSE, on the way out, but he didn't spell it out. The chairman of rugby league stands up and he says, well, he's going off to play that boring game and he'll come back to the NRL in the future. One of his teammates, Brandon Smith, Cheese, from Waiheke Island, incredible guy, he kind of had a quite different take because he's a New Zealander, and he goes, yeah, well, a $1.6 million winger from the Roosters isn't going to help the Wallabies beat the All Blacks, which was quite funny. He comes back. So it's one of these things, and I always find it quite interesting the way that they react. They get very, very upset when their stars go because they feel that it makes them look bad in front of the AFL, and that's really the reason behind the vitriol. But like I say, now you've got the strange bit where he continues playing this sport with his team until the year 2025, so he's still got a couple of years to go before he goes over to rugby union to perhaps play well for the Wallabies, and I think it's the Waratahs he signed with.
And in some way, explain to me how this is in some way Eddie Jones's fault.
So Eddie Jones arrived, obviously. He comes in there now. Eddie Jones stared down Phil Gould in an interview about a month ago, and Phil Gould was like, oh, will you be looking for talent? And Eddie Jones did the whole, oh, there's obviously some guys running around, and he does this. And what he does is he makes a lot of very rich people believe in him. So he's fantastic in that. So all of a sudden, because rugby union over there is like a private school sport, so you get a lot of these private backers, you know, people that for casual clothes wear blazers, you know, that sort of thing. He's made no secret of his desire to get talent from the NRL. And this is basically him coming in and choosing their number one prospect that perhaps they were going to market as their star. He's just come in and stolen him. The second Eddie Jones effect is his support staff burning out and leaving after about 2 years, because that happens constantly as well, because apparently he's the most intense individual anyone's met in their life. But this is what it has. So it becomes quite interesting now to see what happens. Does he nick more players when they go? But it's, yeah, it's always interesting to see the reaction here of this. And I think the rugby union guys, they tend to sort of do the, well, best of luck and we hope you come back, because, like, you know, they've got less leverage, they've got less money. money and less to come back. So that's what it is. It's a stolen player crisis.
Thanks, Nathan. I've enjoyed your impressions this morning.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
They were all authentic.
Nathan Rariri, with an update from the sports world.